We'll call the full Ways and Means Committee to order. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's Friday.
Yes.
I go home and see my wife and children.
Yes.
I encourage you all to do the same.
No, our wives and children have to.
This would be easier.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bills that our subcommittees have assiduously worked. And as we just had our subcommittee chair meeting, I want to compliment. I want to compliment our subchairs and our subcommittees. They're doing an excellent job. Len and I were discussing earlier, we could not be more pleased with the work of our subs. And with the continued good work, we'll get through this long trail of tears that I think we're about ready to begin marching down. First bill this morning, House Bill 5016. Representative Hayden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 5016 is the budget bill for the Employment Relations Board. This board is charged with resolving labor disputes in state agencies, in local government agencies, and private employers not subject to the National Labor Relations Board jurisdiction. In addition to the general fund, the board has other funds revenue, which consists primarily of assessments of state agencies based on FTE. And in talking with staff, I understand that about 30 or 40% of that will be general funds anyway. That assessment rose from $1.33 per full-time equivalent per month to $1.35 per FTE per month for this biennium, 2001-03. Mediation services and other miscellaneous fees also provide other funds for board operations. The board has been able to maintain targeted performance measurements while using fewer staff, primarily due to the use of technology. Accent, fewer staff. The board's budget is essentially a current service level budget. Two vacant positions have been eliminated, which I think is a wise thing to do, and funding shifted to other cost categories, including computer support services. Your general government subcommittee made some minor adjustments for the reduction in PERS, employer's contribution rate, the reduction in Department of Administrative Services assessment, and reduced attorney general hourly rate. We also reduced the general fund portion by the co-chairs, suggested 1% applied to services and supplies, and your subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 5016, Mr. Chairman, as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 5016 as amended to the floor of the House as amended? Seeing none? So ordered. House Bill 5031, Representative Hansen. Representative Hill.
Public Safety Regulations Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5031, which is the operating budget for the Oregon Military Department. The Military Department is responsible for administration of the Oregon Army and Air National Guards and the Oregon State Defense Force. The federal government provides approximately 97% of the funding for the Oregon National Guard. Guard member salaries and operational costs estimated at $352 million and 1,556 employees are paid directly by the federal government and are not included within House Bill 5031. Sorry, I apologize up there, they have it wrong. The subcommittee approved a budget of $63,924,110 total funds and 377.24 FTE. This is a $34,501 reduction to the governor's recommended budget. The approved budget removes $450,364,000 general fund resources for two office support positions in the agency's financial administration and information management programs and services and supplies associated with facilities, operation, and maintenance. The budget includes $13.7 million general fund, $5.9 million other funds, and $44.2 million federal funds. The subcommittee restored three positions within the governor's recommended funding level for the Oregon Military Museum and Army Facilities Maintenance Program. The subcommittee also approved an increase of $56,040 other funds expenditure limitation and 6.88 FTE to comply with temporary employee guidelines. A budget note directs the agency to pursue other funds for ongoing operation of the Oregon Military Museum. The approved budget includes establishing two positions for facilities operations and maintenance at the Salem Armed Forces Reserve Center and debt service for certificates of participation to be funded with general funds. Also approved is a $4.2 million increase in federal funds for program enhancements, including five positions, operations and maintenance of Army National Guard facilities, the equipment refurbishment program, air-based security program, and the agency's Starbase Science and Technology Academy reinforcing basic aviation and space exploration program. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Since Representative Hill spent so much of his personal time dedicated to this budget, I would encourage any of you to ask questions about the Oregon military that you've, you know, always been afraid to ask. I mean, this is the time to ask Representative Hill questions. Any questions?
You mean the opposite?
well, we do have our august staff here, so if we do have...
There are committees, members of the subcommittee.
And there are members of the subcommittee here.
Oh,
Jim, Representative Hill was pinch-hitting in Representative Hansen's absence.
Well, my question is, why is it 46 positions increase in this budget?
Committee members want to take a stab at that, or shall we have Ms. Jordan?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, the increase in positions are actually temporary positions that the military department has always had on staff that they've hired as contract employees. The Employment Relations Board has ruled that that isn't within the guidelines of the of state's employment practices and that they need to be paid as regular employees, and so the agency is correcting that by adding the positions as permanent part-time positions. It actually results in 6.88 FTE because there are multiple people who fill those positions during the biennium.
Thank you. Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand, I think, the importance of a military museum, but why would you take money from the tuition assistance program to run a military museum if indeed we want to encourage young people to get involved?
Any of the committee members like to discuss?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Troll.
I think it was done reluctantly with the idea that maybe they can find other funds within the budget to do this and wouldn't have to use the tuition assistance funds, but in case they don't find those, that then they could rely on these. I think that's why, but it was done reluctantly.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't think anyone on the committee... questions at all. I mean, many of us here were supporters for getting the scholarship program implemented for the first time ever last biennium. It is, you know, work beyond any of our expectations. In fact, I've got to tell you, one of the, you know, proud little moments that we get all too few as legislators, for me, occurred when I was walking on the sky bridge between the two of the large department stores downtown Bend here, and we'll get that large. We're coming.
You have a sky bridge?
Yeah, the sky bridge.
Oh. I'm already home. Okay. Yeah, it goes from the university to community college. And
there you go. Right. Sky bridges are next.
But seriously, one of the proud moments when I was walking on the sky bridge between, I think it was Merwin's and whatever.
Salem Center.
Here in town. And here's the Oregon National Guard set up with a little, you know, kiosk and booth and recruiting. And so I just walked over and I didn't introduce myself. I just talked about the program and or the Oregon National Guard. And I mean, their pitch, their big line, and they were proud to be able to finally say it. you know, they puffed their chest up a little bit and they started talking about their scholarship program. And it felt really good to know that you were just a small part of being able to get that through. It's one of those things that, you know you did the right thing.
Now, Mr. Chair, we're going to give that money to keep the Military Museum open?
Hey, you know what? Have you been to the Military Museum?
No.
You need to go.
Okay.
You need to go. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering at the committee level whether there was any discussion of any anticipated funds that might be needed to deal with the fact that the Port of Portland has a master plan that contemplates a profound effect on military facilities at PDX. And I don't know whether or not the committee gave any time to a discussion of what money might be needed for planning purposes to interface with the Port of Portland as they contemplate expansion at PDX that could impact the facilities, the military facilities.
Mr. Chair, some members of the subcommittee made a tour to PDX, and I was not one of those, so I regret not having done that. But my guess is that came up and was discussed, and I'd like staff maybe to respond to that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Crowe, that's correct. They did talk about the planning and working with the Port of Portland on that redesign during the tour. I don't think that came up specifically as what the costs were in subcommittee, but they are working with them on that.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair. I would encourage the department to spend some particular time looking at that issue. Given that the third runway concept at PDX would essentially wipe out the military facilities there, and the number that I have heard is somewhere in the area of $300 million to try to find an alternative site or facility on the PDX campus or to look at moving it to another community. So it certainly seems to me that piece of planning needs to loom large with the department.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I can assure you the military department is on top of that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to find out what discussion there had been relative to the general fund appropriation of $261,869 for debt service on the Baker City Readiness Center, recognizing that it is not the highest priority.
Mr. Chair, we did discuss that, and some of us, I think I voted no on that one just as a protest because I felt it was not the highest priority. But I don't think we have any choice, sort of just caught either the thing gets funded or it doesn't, and we got to do that. That's my impression.
Would you like to flesh that out?
Representative Butler, the certificates of participation have already been approved by the legislature, and the debt service is... has to be paid, and so that you're kind of stuck with that bill now.
That is some default on it.
Is that a budget note?
I guess I should just say sorry, Tom. Tom knows what I mean. Any other questions?
There was a discussion, though.
Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Phil.
Any other questions on House Bill 5031? Any discussion? Any objections to passing House Bill 5031 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation?
Object.
We have one objection. Please note Representative Butler is an objection.
Following Senator Trow's lead. And
all right. Please note Representative Butler is objecting, and seeing it has received constitutional requirement, it is so ordered that House Bill 5031 be moved to the House floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Senate Bill 5501, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 5501 is a budget bill for the Oregon Board of Accountancy and was assigned to whomever that didn't happen to be there the day that they passed out this particular budget. The Board of Accountancy regulates the practice and performance of all services required of licensed accountants by enforcing state laws and rules. The Board is funded 100% from other funds. The Board's other funds come primarily from licensing fees, examination fees, business registration fees of accountants in the state of Oregon. The Subcommittee on General Government recommends a budget of $1,515,083,087. Other funds with 7 full-time equivalency positions. This is 1.5% below the governor's recommended budget. It is a 12.1% budget above the 9901 estimated expenditures. Majority of the increased expenditures is due to the increase in costs charged by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants for administering the nationally administered CPA examination. These costs are required. Part of the examination have been raised in every state, and this accounts for $132,199 of the increase. Subcommittee adjusted the budget to reflect the actual cost for the biennium of the financial investigator position that was filled shortly after the budget cutoff date. This adjustment totaled $31,808. In addition, the package was approved to convert the board's computers from Macintosh to a Windows platform. Accountants are trying to move towards the next generation. Thank you. The computers were in need of replacement, and the Windows platform will be compatible with the balance of the state systems and the latest accounting applications. The cost of this conversion is $26,339. Subcommittee adjusted the budget for the lower PERS rates, lower hourly rate for the Attorney General charges, lower adjustment for rates for the Department of Administrative Services, Human Resource Assessment. In addition to these reductions, a 15,000 reduction has been made to service and supplies budget. And the Subcommittee on General Government recommends your approval of Senate Bill 5501 as amended.
Any questions? Any discussion on the Board of Accountancy? Any objections to passing Senate Bill 5501 to the Senate floor with, as amended, with a two-pass recommendation?
Possible conflict of interest noted as a result of my license, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Representative Butler declares conflict of interest. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5515, Office of Energy. Is there a committee member? Oh, Representative Hayden.
Thank you for the twofer, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 5515 is the budget bill for the Oregon Office of Energy. This office promotes conservation activities. It oversees the cleanup and transport of radioactive wastes. Somebody has to do it. Ensures energy preparedness regarding accidents involving radioactive materials and sites new energy facilities quickly, I hope. The subcommittee approved a total budget of $164.5 million and 77.94 full-time equivalents. Now, the majority of the budget is in non-limited funds for bond issuances and loan repayments for the agency's small-scale energy loan program, which provides low-interest loans for conservation projects. The remaining amount of $21.9 million is for the agency's other programs. Please note that there are no general funds in this budget. The subcommittee reduced the governor's proposed budget by $15,826 other funds and $3,340 in federal funds for revised PERS contribution amounts. Because of the general fund constraints, the subcommittee also decreased the governor's recommended budget by $1.4 million in general funds for payments to the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry's debt to the Office of Energy. However, the subcommittee appropriated $900,000 to the emergency board as a special purpose appropriation should Oregon Museum of Science and Industry's financial situation merit state support. The subcommittee also heard that the Office of Energy has contingency reserves for problem loans and currently has no other loans requiring use of the reserves. If OMSI's need for financial support from the state is greater than $900,000, the Office of Energy could use those reserves, now estimated to be about $12 million. The subcommittee also heard that the Office of Energy could request additional support from the emergency board from the unallocated, unreserved portion of the emergency fund, with the understanding the office would be competing with all other demands on this fund during the 2001-2003 biennium. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of this bill. Thank you.
Good job, Representative. Any questions for the Office of Energy? Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 5515 is moved to the Senate floor with a, as amended. Senate Bill 5515 as amended is recommended to be moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. Senate Bill 5534. Senator Duncan.
Good morning.
Good to hear from you, sir.
Certainly nice to see you this morning. Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5534 is the budget bill for the Board of Medical Examiners. And this board is charged with the responsibility of protecting the health, the safety, and the well-being of Oregonians by regulating the practice of medicine. The board licenses and it registers and regulates medical doctors, osteopathic physicians, podiatrists, physician assistants, acupuncturists. We have 11 members of that board who are appointed by the governor, and of course they're confirmed by the august body on the, of the Senate. The committee's recommended budget is only $6.2 million. And that's about an 8.4% increase over the 1999-01 estimate of expenditures. Now, in this budget, you'll note that there is a reduction for public employee retirement system costs, and there's a request to the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule expenditure limitation for the per diem increases for non-board members who serve on the board committees, as well as a technology package. And I think you're going to see a technology package in most budgets we talk about during this session. The committee also approved expenditure limitation necessary to increase the hourly compensation rate for board consultants, and also for anticipated fees incurred by the agency, because many of the licensees are now paying by credit card. Our committee also discussed the agency's relatively high ending balance of 9 months of expenditures. And that was explained to us by the agency because they received much of their biennial revenue during the fall of odd-numbered years when most of the licenses are renewed. This revenue fluctuation, in turn, then creates cash flow variances that must be accommodated using a higher-than-typical ending balance, which I'm certain would make Representative Butler uncomfortable. In a budget note, the committee directed the Department of Administrative Services to study the agency's cash flow, their ending balance requirements, and their current licensing procedure, possibly changing some things with birth dates and things like that rather than everything coming in at once, and then to report the findings findings during the board's 2003 Ways and Means hearing. I'd be happy to answer any questions, as would Mr. Breton, on this particular budget, Mr. Chair.
Senator Trow.
Mr. Chair, this cash flow problem and the way the license fees are paid, the timeliness of them, is something that affects a lot of boards, and generally the way they've handled it by simply getting their licenses to come in at one time rather than come in over time is to have a fairly large ending balance. It's not general fund dollars. It's money that they collect from their licensees. And it looks bad to have this large ending balance, but sometimes it's more cost effective to do it that way than to go on this proposed schedule of having the license money come in on birthdays all throughout the year, because it costs quite a bit to implement that. I think once in place, that's probably a fine system. But the cost of implementing it, I think, ought to be considered as you do this study as to whether or not it's more efficient, because sometimes having a little larger ending balance doesn't do any harm, and it's simply a way of coping with it without having all that licensed stuff coming in continuously all year long. Sometimes it's easier to manage if it comes in all at once than continuously.
Yeah, I'd like to echo Senator Trow's words. I know many of us have had the opportunity to go and sit and observe the medical board, and those individuals are doing yeoman's work and have an extremely difficult task It's something that you can just see their commitment to the task at hand. It is not an easy job. Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, I am not being entirely facetious when I say that as the House of Representatives has chosen to micromanage the Oregon State Board of Dentistry, we might micromanage other boards and thereby reduce their workload and reduce fees to those individuals.
So noted, Mr. Chairman.
But micromanaging can get you in trouble.
I think that's where he was going. Representative Winters.
Mr. Chair, it was not the intent to cause any undue constraints on the board, but simply to ask the board to look at its practice, and if they could come up with a mechanism so that they're not holding a large cash balance. As I understand it, GAS has some standards that says that the board should not hold any more than 3.5 months worth of fees, and so that's the reason for that recommendation. Yes. And that question is being asked of all the boards that come where they have a cash balance that's in 9 months and 10 months and a year. So just to clarify that for the committee.
Chair, I certainly don't object to looking at that. It may well be convenient and better to do it a different way, and the cost of doing it may make sense. And I think that's what a good representative wanted to do with the discussion. But I do think we ought not just to run pell-mell into a new system if it doesn't make sense. And I hope that, because I think we can manage having a little bit larger ending balance as well. And I don't think that hurts anything. We've done it for years that way.
Let's hear from our technology guru, Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to declare a potential conflict of interest, as I have a family member who is subject to licensure and examination by the Board of Medical Examiners.
Okay. How are you going to talk about the technology piece? You know,
it wasn't that significant. We just unscheduled it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duncan.
I might add that I think we were impressed with this board, too, and I, too, have had a chance to go up and observe their meetings, and I would encourage people to do that. They do have a heavy workload, and they do an outstanding job.
Yeah, it was pretty impressed when I went. Any other questions on the Medical Board of Examiners? Senator Yee.
Mr. Co-Chair, I was a no vote on the committee because this budget assumes increasing non-board members per diem from $30 to $250, and I think that's a little bit high. So,
do you know? Any other discussion? Any dissension? Any no votes other than Senator Yee? Seeing none, Senate Bill 5534 is recommended with two pass to the Senate floor. So ordered. Senate Bill 5539, Board of Psychological Examiners, Senator Hartung.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, and it is the Board of a Psychologist.
Psychologist.
There you go.
Ben Salem, you know.
You'll know how to do that when you get that branch university over there. You'll learn. Senate Bill 5539 is the budget bill for the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. The board protects and benefits public health and safety by setting standards for continuing education, examination, and licensing of psychologists and psychologist associates. It operates with other funds received primarily from license fee. The Human Services Subcommittee approved a budget of $602,678 and 2.5 FTE, which is 13.4 less than the governor's recommended budget, but an increase of 12.6% from the current service level. The subcommittee approved enhancements in the budget, bullet one, to restore current service level, which requires a fee increase. Two, to classify an office specialist two position to a program representative one position. Three, provide additional limitations for hearings officer panel expenses. And four, provide additional out-of-state travel limitation for one person to attend national conferences. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5539.
Any questions? On the Board of Psychologist Examiners.
I might comment that I had some trouble with this budget. I thought we were being a bit too severe on this particular group. And I talked to our analysts. They went back and did review it again. I do have some suggestions from them, and I'll be talking to the agency. I've been dealing with my chair of the subcommittee, and I hope we can work some things out and address some of their concerns.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hartog.
Question of Senator Duncan. You talk to your analyst, your psychologist analyst?
I just wanted to be sure it was on the record, Mr. Chair.
Okay. You didn't need to.
Didn't have to answer.
Yeah, we knew that.
This is, when my father asks a question, I always respond.
Never
better Ferrioli.
Mr. Chairman, I decided I don't want to wade into this. Senator Farflung and the carrier of the bill. So I withdraw my question.
Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This budget was heard and passed on the same day, and we didn't have time to talk about performance measures. And looking at the fiscal analyst performance measure, I would like to add a couple of sentences to add some specific performance measures. And I understand co-chair's rules of not adding anything to the budget. So I would appreciate just mentioning my concerns and read it into the record and hope that the agency will follow the intent of legislature.
We would encourage you to read that into the record, please, and please know that you will have Senator Hannon's and my support in talking to the agency to make sure they understand completely your encouragement on performance measures.
Thank you. And
please proceed.
I also have chair of subcommittee's approval to add these specific measures. So I would like to see specific measures include number of complaints received, time to resolve complaints, cost per case, number of cases sent to the Court of Appeals, and all performance measures should include past performance data and future goals for the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Very good,
Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Hartog.
Yes, I certainly agree with Senator Yee's comments, but if you would note on page 2 of 2, the statement, the expectation states what Senator Yee wants, except she's asked for some more specifics, and I think it would be appropriate to include that.
And, you know, Senator Yee is our champion of performance data, and I applaud your discipline and your tenacity, you know, in making sure we get this right, Senator.
Mr. Co-Chair, as session goes on, we are all very busy with our bills and more budget hearings. Will the co-chairs consider making a recommendation to the leadership that maybe during the interim we can have an interim committee just to look at performance measures of all the budgets so that they can start keeping track of their data. And next session, when they come in, they can tell us exactly what do they do with the funds given to them, and they be accountable for the goals they are charged to achieve.
Speaking not only for myself, but as we discussed with Senator Hannon, we would be glad to make that recommendation, and I have a very strong feeling who the first individual that would come to both our minds that should serve on that committee.
Up to 03. Yeah.
Senator Trope.
Mr. Chair, I think the things that the good senator recommends, the information is very much needed and ought to come. I would suggest, though, that as we call these things performance measures, that at some point You're going to use these to measure the performance and judge the agency. And I think you need to be pretty careful about these licensing boards because every case they deal with is different, and some of them take a long time and a lot of litigation, and some don't, and the investigations vary and so forth. So to expect them to measure up to some kind of preconceived efficiency level may not be realistic and may just get you in trouble.
Senator, I think that's a very astute comment. One of the things that I learned during the interim, and this was as a result of work encouraged by Senator Yee last session, we looked at the Economic Community Development Department, and determining an appropriate goal and measurement is an extremely difficult and unique activity. I mean, there is nothing standard, rote, or cookie-cuttered about it. So I appreciate your comments. I'm sure Senator Yee does. Senator Hartung.
Mr. Co-Chair, I want to make sure the record shows that we held a public hearing on February 1st, and then we held a public hearing and work session on February 5th.
Very good.
Mr. Chairman, I asked Mr. Olson, is that what happened? And he said, yes, that's what happened.
The record is the first and the fifth.
Yeah, I think it's something we do pride ourselves on while we have a great deal of work to do. And it's one of the things that was implicit in my complimenting of the subs at the opening of the meeting. I think we do a very good job in an appropriate timeliness of examining these budgets. So I appreciate your comments very much, Senator. Any other questions on the Board of Psychologist Examiners?
I'd like to call attention, Mr. Co-Chair, that the psychologists only have to have half as many FTE as the Board of Accountants.
Hey, by golly.
Well, but they have to deal with right. Senator Duncan. So.
Legislators are exempt.
Any other questions? Any discussion? Any no votes on moving Senate Bill 5539 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none? So ordered.
This is getting out of line.
Other business to come before the committee. Department of Human Services. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of a Federal Department of Health and Human Services Centers for Disease Control and Prevention grant application in the amount of up to $500,000 per year for up to 5 years for epidemiology and laboratory capacity for infectious disease. That was a mouthful. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention has announced the availability of funds for a cooperative agreement program to promote adequate capacity of local, state, and national efforts for epidemiology, lab surveillance, and response for infectious diseases. The purpose of the Epidemiology and Laboratory Capacity in Infectious Diseases program is to assist state and local public health departments strengthen core public health capacity to address infectious disease threats. The Health Division intends to use funding from this grant to improve monitoring of hepatitis C, improve the ability of the public health lab to test for influenza, which has been throughout this building this session, West Nile and other viruses, and there is a virus that comes from the Nile, and it's moving its way, it is in this country, and initiate and measure the effects of a campaign to reduce the inappropriate use of antibiotics. The subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Thank you, Representative Winters. Any questions? Any discussions? Any objections to granting approval to the Department of Health and Human Services? Human Services. Seeing none, so ordered. Oregon Judicial Department, Senator Trull.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Ways and Means Committee approve a submission of grant applications for U.S. Department of Justice Drug Courts Program Office, Drug Court Grants. The Judicial Department is requesting authorization to apply for grants on behalf of Marion, Malheur, and Clackamas County Courts. One grant would provide up to $500,000 over a three-year period to implement drug courts for substance-abusing adult and juvenile offenders. The other grant would provide up to $300,000 for a two-year period to enhance existing drug court programs. These grants are consistent with ongoing efforts to establish family and drug courts throughout the state. The deadline for submission is February 26, 2001. The grants will be awarded during the 2001-03 biennium and have a 25% match requirement. A portion of the match must be cash. If the grant applications are approved, the department will return for federal funds expenditure limitation and will provide detail on how the match requirement will be met within its legislatively approved budgets. Subcommittee recommends approval of these applications.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections for the approval of the Oregon Judicial Department to apply to the U.S. Department of Justice? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Farioli.
Mr. Co-Chairman, on an unrelated piece of information I'd like to share with the full committee on Ways and Means, recent resignation of the director of Oregon Department of Veterans, or Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, is an occurrence that's been noteworthy, and I think the committee chairs are all aware of that, and the members of the Ways and Means are all aware of that. What you may not be aware of is that he's been rehired by the agency on a contract basis, and I've got a copy of the contract I'd like to share with our members, because I think it's interesting to note that bracket creep is one issue that we've dealt with from a member of our illustrious and very well capacitated chairman of the Subcommittee for Natural Resources for Ways and Means. This is an additional anomaly. It's called the rehire. It's like a lateral arabesque into a within the agency that continues the cash flow. So I thought I'd share that with the members. I'll just start it from good Senator Dukes on.
Actually, I have copy.
Yes, ma'am. Interesting reading. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, and thank you for bringing that to the committee's attention. When you first shared that with me, Senator,
does
that was
not make sense to
quite a revelation.
Yeah. Some problem.
Yeah.
Any other announcements, discussions? Senator Clark.
I would just like to inform the chair that I'm heading across the mountains with my studded tires at noon, and I'm a little worried about you because you don't know if you're in Salem or Bend, and I'll follow you if you'd like.
Mr. Chairman, to the good senator from the Bend area, if we could just maybe pin a note to the good co-chairman, and if found, please return to family.
Please return to Libby.
Mr. Chair, and if you get lost on the way going over and you have to come back to Salem, remember to keep my telephone number with you just so I can call you and pick you up at the mall.
Bend to Salem.
There was an Oregonian just found at a mall in Boise, so I know that this can happen. he was also elderly and quite confused.
I may not know the way home, but my car does.
Mr. Chair, I think I want to protest on behalf of Senator Hartung that reference to the elderly. I thought
it was Mr.
It
Mr.
is
Mr.
time I thought he to might. End this meeting. We are adjourned.